My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Live from downtown San Francisco, this is 95.7 The Game.
All right. High drive to right. It is out of here. And we are going home for the Baby Bowl. For the Baby Bowl.
Oh, sorry about that, Ken. Almost stepped on Krug and Kipe there. NBC Sports Bay Area, the Giants walk off against the Dodgers last night. And that is Dan Devone. Evan Giddings rocking with you here on a Saturday on 95.7 The Game. It feels like we've been waiting for a weekend like this for a long time, Dan. A big win for the Giants against their rivals from down south. We got NBA free agency right around the corner. We got decision day for Paul George. Brandon Ayuk still doesn't have a contract. Where do you want to start, my man? What's going on?
Well, actually, you know what? There was a Viagra commercial that I was listening to just before we went on
air. Where your mind goes.
Let me just jot this down and I'll get right back to you. All right.
Okay. Stop!
Here we go. So good to be back, right? You missed me? I know you tried to change the locks. My key card wasn't working. I climbed through like a storage window. You can't keep me out of this thing. The Cajon, it's Saturday. The Cajon is going to be here. What's up?
The Cajon is a walking advertisement for ADD. That is also New York Ken. New Jersey Ken, I apologize, right behind the glass there. Are you an adopted sibling of New York City? You're rocking the hat right now. I can't really tell.
I mean, why not? Jersey is just a, what do you call it? Just another leg or an arm.
Subsidiary?
Yeah.
Honorary borough.
North Jersey, I should say. South Jersey's more Philly. So, yeah. So, I'm always rocking New York.
Right on. Well, welcome in everyone on YouTube and Twitch, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. Everyone via 888-957-9570 on the Xfinity mobile text line. Don't worry, Dan. We'll get your setup in a moment. But I got to tell you, man, I'm excited for this weekend, man. I'm excited for these next 3 hours because, look, the Giants have a massive win. First game of a series. They go again, I think, at 4:15 today. Glasnow versus Eric Miller. We'll see what the rest of the series happens. Fantastic fireworks show last night. They honor the great late Orlando Cepeda, who passed away at age 86. A couple of legends lost by the Giants in recent weeks. Of course, Willie Mays being the biggest name. But we also have an opportunity finally to talk about what is the brand new year of the NBA? Starts on July 1st. It's around the corner. Paul George has to decide whether he's going to opt in or opt out of his $48.7 million player option at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard. And then the Warriors can potentially pounce, Dan. So there's a lot of action going on in the Bay. And I will say this. Brett Wisely's home run was massive. But if the Warriors can somehow swing a trade for Paul George, that would be the walk-off.
Well, I hate to be that guy, but I think you know me well enough that, and if you've listened to the show at all, we've done enough of these, especially when you're talking about reviewing the Warriors every week, I'm not a fan of Paul George coming to the Warriors. Wasn't a fan of Jimmy Butler coming to the Warriors. Not a fan of Kevin Durant coming to the Golden State Warriors. And I'm just going to beat the same old drum that this is an old basketball team. And with a soon-to-be 35-year-old Paul George, you just get older. And you are prolonging the inevitable, which is essentially a rebuild. And the fact that you're willing to take on a max deal, and the Clippers are not, You want to give this guy 4 years when he's 38 years of age? You want to be paying him $60 million? I'm not up for that. If I'm the GM, if I had anything to say, Paul George is not the answer to what's wrong with the Golden State Warriors. And I know it's sexy, it's alluring to talk about, it's Paul George. We have a tendency to think about these things in the rearview mirror, but the Paul George of today isn't worth it, and he might be worth it with it. Let me rephrase that. He might be worth it with another team, say Philadelphia, but he's not worth it with the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah, so basically what you'd be getting is, you know, a player in his mid-30s coming off a season in which I think he played the most games since he was in Oklahoma City. Yep. So he hadn't played more than 70 with the Clippers prior to last year. Look, I mean, he's a 40% three-point shooter, 22 points a game, a playoff team that didn't win a round, albeit, but has been part of Clipper teams that have gone somewhat deep into the postseason, won Western Conference Finals run. I think I'm generally with you, and it's not necessarily because I don't think Paul George is a good player. I think he's a damn good player. And in fact, in the fourth quarter of a game earlier this year down in L.A., he almost single-handedly beat the Warriors by himself in the fourth quarter. But it's because of that four-year max that seems like it is almost a lock to come along with it. He is eligible to sign for 4 years, $221 million, and I'm not sure I feel comfortable giving any player that age that kind of investment. I mean, you could tell me the Warriors have an opportunity to sign LeBron James to a three-year max like the Lakers are expected to do. I'm not sure I want a 39-year-old signing a three-year max deal. I'm not sure I want to be handicapped that badly over the next couple of years. However, I think what the Warriors are trying to do, and I'll ask you this, Dan, if you could acquire Paul George, you would have to give him the four-year max, but you don't have to give up Kuminga. Does that change your mind at all? Because you are getting older, although you're coming off of Chris Paul in all probability, but you're not losing your primary young piece. Does that change it at all?
I would consider it, because at the end of the day, it's not my money. And if it's just dollars and cents, well, Joe Lacob, you go ahead and you swallow that bill. I think you're going to eat the final 2 years of that contract. But if that's where you want to, well, you know, you are going to be, because of the salary cap, it is going to limit you, I think, towards the end of his contract. That's the only thing I would take into consideration, but I would strongly consider it at that point. But moving off of the kids and going for Paul George as of right now with that salary is a huge mistake, a huge mistake. And while it may pay dividends early on and there may be some flash and he may go for 25, 30 in the first couple of months of the season and everybody's falling in love with Paul George, I'm sorry, inevitably he's going to go down with an injury. I know he played 74 games last year, but prior to that, he wasn't north of 60 for 5 years. And you're talking about a guy, I'm sorry, what do I always tell you that when we think about Jimmy Butler and Kevin Durant and we think about Paul George, we have a tendency to romanticize about where they were 5, 6 years ago when he was with Indiana or even a couple of years ago with the Clippers when he was healthy. He's not that guy anymore. The perfect fit for him is to go to Philadelphia as a free agent. Why? Because he's not going to be the number one. It's still Joel Embiid's world. Tyrese Maxey's the number two, and he can slide in as a good number three or a two-way. That's where he's at in his career if you were to watch him on a day-to-day basis. He is not a number one that's suddenly going to come and team with Steph Curry, who's also going to be 37 years of age, and a Draymond Green is going to be 36, and you think you're going to recapture Magic and go back to the NBA Finals and win another one. Just not happening, in my estimation.
Well, there have been a couple of trades that have come down already in impending free agency. You obviously got Caruso going to Oklahoma City for Josh Giddey, just a straight-up player trade. And then the one recently last night, as I was falling asleep, saw that the New Orleans Pelicans are wheeling and dealing with the Atlanta Hawks, trading DeJounte Murray, or Atlanta trading DeJounte Murray to Atlanta for two first-round picks and a couple of players. So there is action. There are things that are in motion.
What do you think of that deal?
I thought it was a good deal for New Orleans.
Oh, great deal.
Yeah, I mean, they only gave up a couple first-round picks. I know they had to give up, I believe it was Daniels, who's somewhat of an intriguing prospect. But I just wonder what it means, for example, for like C.J. McCollum. You know, right now, they're a team. I think Jose Alvarado is a restricted free agent. But they're a team that I think is trying to get a little bit more scoring punch. And maybe they team him and CJ up together. I also was curious.
Was Jones in that mix?
I was wondering why someone like Brandon Ingram wasn't in the deal. I know they'd kind of, there's a rumor that it might be an Ingram for Murray swap. Brandon Ingram also is eligible for a contract extension this summer, so perhaps he decides to come back. I don't think New Orleans is done. I think Ingram is still going to try to be moved. But
so do I.
Yeah, I thought it was a good move for both sides, but particularly for New Orleans.
Yeah, I think it makes New Orleans very, very dangerous.
But it also was a player that a lot of Warriors fans had targeted, and kind of one of these guys that, okay, so we have our elder statesmen, our elder superstars that were on the table, right? The Durants, who I still think is very, very good, but he all doesn't seem to be going anywhere. Jimmy Butler is going to play out his final year in Miami and then become a free agent next offseason. And then, of course, Paul George, who has until 3 o'clock to decide whether to opt in or not and become a free agent. But the other lower level, I would say, in the midst of their prime pieces that we'd also discussed, included DeJounte Murray, so he's off the board. Brandon Ingram was another one. And then Lauri Markkanen is the third. And shout out to Atco Pest Control on our YouTube chat, powered by First NorCal Credit Union, for the donation. Lauri Markkanen is somebody that is available. Is that at all enticing to you, Dan? And if so, why?
Well, yes, but what is it, again, what is it that I'm giving up to get Lauri Markkanen? And Lauri Markkanen fits with what it is that the Golden State Warriors are doing. I just don't think, and the reason why I ask that, Ev, is that if he's shopped, and obviously, you know, Utah's taking calls, Danny Ainge is working the horn, and rest assured, Dunleavy has had conversations. Dunleavy's spoken to just about everybody, right? And I just don't think the Warriors have enough assets. If you're asking me if Markkanen's a good player, does he fit with the Warriors? Well, hell yeah. All right. You got to be an idiot not to recognize this guy's talent and the fact that he's still a young basketball player. It's just, do the Warriors have enough assets going back at Utah? Because Danny Ainge don't play. Danny Ainge is looking for, you know what he did to Minnesota. And so I just don't think that the Warriors, it's not a matter of whether you like him or whether you want him. I just don't know if Utah is willing to deal him to Golden State.
I think they are. And the difference to me in a, because like, so, the Warriors have been connected to, like, the Clippers. They've been connected to a team such as, I don't know, Atlanta or even New Orleans. So I think those teams, specifically the Clippers, if they were to swing a deal for, say, Paul George, the Clippers probably want players back because they're trying to compete. I'm not sure if Atlanta at this point is trying to compete. They look like they're aiming for their future, but then again, they might not move off Trae Young or not be able to. And then New Orleans was going to want players back too. I don't think Utah is a team that wants players back. So that's why I asked you if you would be willing to acquire and sign someone like Paul George if it meant not giving up Kuminga. I think whatever conversation Mike Dunleavy and that front office has having down at Chase Center, most of the calls revolve around Kuminga. Utah is a team that I don't think it would have to revolve around Kuminga. I think you would have to give up a lot of first-round picks. I think you'd have to give up unprotected capital. But I don't think you'd have to send a player back such as Kuminga. I think you'd be able to find a way to mix and match salaries, which right now for Lauri Markkanen is $17.2 and $18 million next season. So Lauri Markkanen is a very affordable player. And I think if the Warriors were willing to pony up with trade assets, I think they could go get Lauri Markkanen.
I think Utah would put the crosshairs on Jonathan Kuminga, and here's why. It's because of his age. And while he's not a draft pick, but he fits in perfectly with what it is that they're trying to do. The fact that, you're right, they're not looking to win right now, so Klay Thompson doesn't make sense to Utah. Klay Thompson makes sense to Orlando, but not to Utah. Draymond Green doesn't make sense to Utah. Not that he's being shot. We don't know. But as far as a deal going to Utah for marketing, I don't know that Draymond Green's name has been mentioned, but that doesn't make sense. But somebody like Jonathan Kuminga, when you're talking 21 years of age, albeit he's not a draft pick, but the investment is, 2 to 3 years from now if you're looking at Utah and, quote-unquote, their process? I think Jonathan Kuminga hits their sweet spot. I think he's very much in the centerpiece of any discussion with the Golden State Warriors as far as getting marketing and services.
Well, we got our first piece of news of the day, Dan. This is in from Shams Charania. Los Angeles Lakers four-time champion LeBron James intends to opt out of his $51.4 million player option for next season. According to The Athletic and Stadium, expectations James will return to the Lakers on a new deal. So, you know, the first domino of the day, I guess, falls. Something that was expected, because now after he opts out, he can re-up for the three-year max and hitch his wagon alongside his newest teammate and son, Bronny James.
Yeah, what do you think of the Bronny James deal?
I think it's a joke, but...
Well, I mean, it's... I think that there's two ways to look at it. At the end of the day, who cares, right? There's some people, there's a strong sentiment of like, look, you know, he wants to play with his son. It's the first time it's ever happened in the NBA. Plus, it's another carrot to lure LeBron James back to L.A. It's the 55th pick. What the hell are you going to do with that pick anyways? Bronny James is there. Go get him. And then there's the people like me that... This is why people don't like LeBron James, is because he gets everything he damn wants. And poor kid Bronny, like that's the last place I'd want to be in, playing in the shadow of my father. And I just don't know how it's going to be received in that locker room, not necessarily by the ADs of the world and the D'Angelo Russells, but I'm talking about the guys on the back end of that bench or the guys in that rotation. There's got to be some bad blood immediately once he steps into that locker room. Now, I'm assuming he's going to be in the G League, when you think, for the most part, and yo-yo back and forth. But
I don't know, man.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I mean, the whole point of having him on the team, or the whole point of drafting him, is to have him on the team. I mean, look, at the end of the day, it's not that big of a deal. I just feel like he's setting the kid up to fail, and he's going to be the butt of a lot of jokes. He's also a kid that... is probably not ready yet for the NBA.
Oh, hell no.
Is a kid that also underwent cardiac arrest at the beginning of his first college season. So there might be some underlying health issues. I just don't want Bronny to be the butt of a ton of unnecessary jokes. And to be put, honestly, in the crosshairs by his father. Also, his father could say he played with his son, the same son that he also happened to give his first name to, which I have different takes on. But...
Well, LeBron regrets doing that.
Oh, well...
By the way...
I mean, I'm... That's
So my prediction, which was what, some 6 months ago, that the Warriors were taken at 52.
Yeah, well, they had a chance.
Apparently, Maverick Carter had called around, and this has been reported.
Rich Paul called around
and spoke to the Warriors, and wasn't just the Warriors. There were two or three teams, and said, do not draft Bronny James, because I know you're thinking about it. He will play in Australia. This is sort of what it is that I'm talking about, where a second-round pick is making these sort of demands that creates this
that's a good point.
This embedded sort of dislike to a young player that should be getting, you know, should, quite frankly, should be playing in college somewhere going into his sophomore year. Or
playing in Australia, honestly.
Perfect. Yeah, that's what LaMelo Ball did.
Yeah, if you want to do the kid a favor, maybe the Warriors should have taken him. So I had to go play in Perth. 888-957-9570 is the number. Saturdays on 95.7 The Game with Emmy Giddings. That's Dan Devone. What are you hoping to see today? Is it a trade by the Warriors? It is also, of course, a deadline for Paul George, but it's a deadline tomorrow for Chris Paul. They got to figure out whether or not they're going to guarantee his $30 million in all likelihood to use him as a trade chip. Or they could simply waive him and save a boatload of cash. I think people would be pissed if that's the avenue that the Warriors go down, because that's never been Joe Lacob's MO. I think it would also signal that Lacob doesn't necessarily believe that this is a team worth spending money on after spending the most money in the history of basketball to not make the playoffs last year. So, Dan, I think it's almost... a guarantee that they guarantee Chris Paul's $30 million. And I just think it's because it gives them more flexibility to potentially make a trade either now, or I would also argue if they need to keep Chris Paul on the roster sometime during the season.
I don't see him coming back in a Warrior uniform at $30 million. That just does not make sense to me in like 55 different ways. I do see him coming back to the Warriors as a trade piece, to package him in Wiggins, and once again, whether it's for Paul George or whether it's for DeMar Rosen, whatever. Yeah. I think that he becomes that nugget that's you have, obviously, you need the money to match whoever it is that you're bringing in, and that's the sole reason that he would be part of the Golden State Warriors going forward. I can't see him in the rotation as a sixth man for $30 million at age whatever he is now, pushing 40. There's too many of those guys already on the roster.
Yeah, I mean, I think, look, the Warriors would be incentivized to pick up Chris Paul's guarantee. I think that's also why Chris Paul allowed them to do that in the first place. I mean, they had to make a decision. I think it was by 2 p.m. yesterday. The decision came out very quickly during the day. It was around 10:30 a.m. And that's also something that Paul George could be doing. So we'll certainly be monitoring that today as we move along on Saturdays on 95.7 The Game. LeBron's already opted out of his player option. Last night, DeJounte Murray gets moved from the Atlanta Hawks to the New Orleans Pelicans. Things are in motion. We got to figure out where Klay Thompson could potentially be going. I just think that with Chris Paul, I mean, that's the first real big decision they have to make. And I think that they would be wise to pick up the $30 million for a couple reasons. Number one, they can use it in the deal. Number two, they have no other way of improving their roster, and that's really the biggest part of this. They have to find a way to match salaries in a trade because, number one, they're hard cap due to buying back into the second round of the NBA draft. They cannot go over $189.5 million for this entire 2024-25 season. But also, The Paul deal, I think, is a valuable one to other teams because he's a $30 million expiring, and he's also still a somewhat serviceable player. I don't think he's a starting point guard anymore, but either on a team that is a contender, maybe as a backup point guard, for a team that is a very young team, I think people see him as a mentor. And he proved this last season that he is willing to be a professional no matter what. So I think Chris Paul is an asset that a lot of people like. The question is, how can the Warriors use it, and what will they use him to upgrade? Because after they use his contract, like they're out. Like that is the one trade chip that they currently have. And I think, in a roundabout way, the entire reason that they traded Jordan Poole for Chris Paul was for this weekend. It was for these next 48 hours to eventually use him to flip and get a better player.
Yeah, and so I think that, just to take it a step further, if Paul George is the big fish, this is why you have Chris Paul. It's to dangle him and make things fit as far as matching numbers and bringing in someone like that of a Paul George. That's his role with the Golden State Warriors. It's not backing up Steph Curry anymore. Right now, it's all about who is it that you can bring back as a free agent or in a trade. That's the sole purpose of Chris Paul and his relationship with the Warriors going forward. And I'm with you. If it's not to L.A., look at what's the one thing Phoenix could have used? Was a guard, right, last year.
No, they traded it.
Exactly. But there are so many teams that can use his services, and now that he's proven that he's willing to come off the bench, it just makes him that much more attractive. Now the Warriors just have to figure out what makes sense in terms of what they get in return. But what Chris Paul's role is with the Warriors as of right now, he's a trade piece.
Well, and he's also one of the last real trade pieces that they can swing unless they get off of somebody like Andrew Wiggins. And there is also a report yesterday.
They're trying.
Well, Wiggins was in the news, and there's apparently a mutual decision for Wiggins to not compete for Team Canada in the Olympics. And I don't know how badly Wiggins wanted to play. I mean, I honestly don't know how badly Wiggins is interested in the game of basketball itself. That seems to go up and down throughout the last two seasons. But I do know that the Warriors, if they are actively shopping Wiggins, I believe they are. Like, I think they're trying to get off him this summer. They don't want him competing because they don't want him potentially getting hurt and messing up a deal.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. And I have to give you credit in that when was the trade deadline this past year, I went on the record saying, no, I believed in Wiggins turning a corner. He can't be this dormant for this long. Wiggins is somebody that it's too early to give up on him. If you could have shipped him at the trade deadline when you had suitors, because there were people like me that were executives in suit and ties with other teams that were believing in Andrew Wiggins, and namely, one was out there in Charlotte, and they had a guy that they also wanted to move by the name of P.J. Washington. That trade was right there for the Golden State Warriors. I mean, it was just a matter of pulling the trigger, and they didn't do it. And look where they are at right now. Now they're just begging people, please. Yeah. Can you imagine trying to get P.J. Washington now from Dallas straight up for Wiggins? They'd laugh at you and say, what are you, drunk? drink it again at 9 in the morning, Dunleavy? It's just not happening.
Yeah, I don't know if he's a Bloody Mary guy, but I could use one. I think the thing about Wiggins...
Did you go strong again last night?
What, me?
Yeah.
What do you mean again, Dan? Come on, I'm a pro. Every once in a while. No, last night I was in the East Bay. Boy. And I think, look, the issue with Wiggins is... I think in an ideal world, you know, he's a two-way wing. He profiles as a player that, you know, could help you in a playoff setting. I think we learned this postseason that you need those kind of guys. I just don't see him being able to get back to the player he was, at least for the Warriors. I think a change of scenery would be beneficial for both sides. I also think the Warriors are trying to do whatever they can to move off the final 3 years of his deal and set themselves up to be more financially flexible next offseason. That was really my intention at the deadline. It wasn't just about me not necessarily liking the player, and I think he kind of saved himself. They've begun to get the two forward thing working with Wiggins and Kuminga, and then Draymond at the small ball five, and I think that saved Wiggins at the deadline. But it was also because I believe that this summer, that would have given them so many more options to shift this roster. Even if they had gotten to the playoffs and won a series, I didn't think that they were that close to not consider, you know, wholesale changes to this roster. And I think Wiggins is at the center of it. The issue now, Dan, is I don't think anybody wants him.
No,
you could trade him for Beans.
Of course not.
I don't think people are even willing to give up Beans at this point. The Warriors, I feel like, would have to trade Andrew Wiggins for, you know, I don't know, insert irrelevant player. And then also attach something worth of value, a.k.a. an unprotected pick, just to get off of him. And even that might not be enough because his contract right now is so toxic that I do feel like there's an avenue of where he could come back just because the Warriors don't have anywhere else to go with him. And I don't think that would be good for the Warriors. I also don't think that would be good for him. I think this summer they need a split. I think the Warriors and Andrew Wiggins, they got to get a divorce.
Well, that's why the trade deadline was so vital. When you could have moved off on him, when people still saw value in Andrew Wiggins. And now it's too late. Had they been able to have the foresight of pulling that trigger, and it was hotly debated. I know that you were adamant on getting rid of him. And you could have brought back value at that time. Now it's too late. It's not like, you know, the rest of the league doesn't have NBA ticket, and they can't see what the hell went on with this guy this year as well as last year. The big question, maybe we can tackle this going forward on the other side, mm-hmm. is that if Wiggins is on his way out, well, Jonathan Kuminga's got to learn to play that three. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, in a way, it's kind of setting up so the Warriors are going to be pretty dependent on their young core, and I'm going to be honest.
Nothing wrong with that.
Well, that scares me a bit, Dan.
Yeah, it scares everybody, but we can get into this, and this will be sort of my theme throughout, but that's where you're at, and that's what you have to embrace.
Yeah, I got you. 888-957-9570 is the number. I'll tell you why that scares me on the other side. I also have, I don't know, a couple of pieces of information about Klay that have been trickling out that I want to get into as well. Potential landing spots for the famed four-time champ, who is now a free agent for the Golden State Warriors. That's Dan Devone. My name is Evan Giddings. Ken back in the booth. This is Saturdays on 95.7 The Game. We'll be back after this on 95.7 The Game.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Actually, you know, there was a Viagra commercial that I was listening to just before we went on
air. Where your mind goes.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
Oh, man. Things are heating up in the Bay Area. Ladies and gentlemen, Saturdays, 95.7 The Game. That's Dan DeVoe. My name is Evan Giddings. A very happy Saturday to all. One segment down, Dan. Five to go. And we're already...
Who's counting?
Oh, I mean, a couple of us. No, actually, look, first of all, it's a beautiful day. I know gorgeous. We have the Pride Parade down the block.
Gorgeous.
And, you're going to be taking off soon as well, so I know you got to soak up as much sun on the West Coast as you can.
Yeah,
which you tend to do.
Well, this is good stuff. This is beautiful. This is when this city and the sun comes out, which is rare. Let's face it. As Mark Twain said, the coldest winter I ever spent was the summer in San Francisco. Like mm-hmm. This city just comes alive, man. It is. Just, I rode my bike through North Beach. I think I always tell you this, and there's just a vibe in the morning when the sun's out, and you can just anticipate it's going to be high energy in the city today. So, yeah, all over it, man. This is good stuff.
And of course, the Warriors are trying to get potentially all over Paul George. In a potential trade.
Because don't do it. don't do it.
Well, and again, it's not like I think on paper I would, but everything that comes alongside of it, and it's been reported by Brian Windhorst of ESPN that the Clippers want a massive haul. Because I also think, like, this is it too. I think it's kind of just posturing. Like, I think both sides are trying to call each other's bluff.
Agreed.
Paul George and the Los Angeles Clippers. I don't think the Clippers want to give him more than the 3-year extension that they gave Kawhi Leonard during the season. And I don't think Paul George wants to take less than 4 years. So they might be able to find some sort of middle ground. Or Paul George also might just play in that last year, make 48.7, and then go out and hit the open market next offseason.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of similarities between Paul George and Klay Thompson. And what I mean by that is that I think they want to go back to their respective teams, but they're the last people in the room that are going to admit that. And a lot of what we're seeing is much like that of Aaron Judge when he came here to San Francisco. It's about leverage. And it's about trying to posture and bluster so that they can get that better deal, so that they can, what they feel, I think what the common bond is that there's a sense of disrespect on the part of the Clippers as it relates to Paul George. And the same thing can be said about Klay Thompson of the Golden State Warriors, the fact that they haven't offered him a contract. And so he scrubs the account, which is still a weenie move, my man. I mean, come on, Klay Thompson. You are, you know, you're winner of 4 titles. You're 34 years of age. You don't scrub your account. But that aside, I think that there's some personal butthurt going on here, including Paul George as it relates to that of the Los Angeles Clippers. And I think at the end of the day, I do believe he's going to go back to play for LA. And why? It's because when you get to your mid-30s, it becomes quality of life. He's from Southern California, played at Fresno State. There's something about when you get up every morning in Brentwood or Malibu, wherever it is that he's kicking it. The same thing with Klay Thompson. We've talked about this. The guy's in Tiburon. He's got Rocco in his boat. He does not want to go live in Orlando. So I think that both men will return to their respective teams unless, of course, you know, the Golden State Warriors are offering, you know, $15 million and Klay just simply can't do it.
I do think we disagree about Klay, but I think we're on the same page about Paul George. Before we dive deeper into that, let's bring in Austin in San Jose. He's been hanging on patiently. 888-957-9570 is the number. Evan Giddings, Dan DeVoe, and Ken Luttrell with you on 95.7 The Game. Austin, my man, what's going on? How are you?
Hey guys, what's up? Yeah, you know, as Stephen A would say, things are percolating, you know what I mean? But listen, I love Stephen A, by the way. But yeah. Listen, a couple things, Dan, the thing about Wiggins, and I think we're not talking enough about Wiggins and Kuminga. Remember, supposedly those guys couldn't play together last year, and even Coach Kerr made a point of saying it, I think, which was kind of weird to me. I don't know that I'd agree. But I think if you're talking about moving, everybody's talking about moving Wiggins like it's such an easy thing. I mean, remember, when Wiggins is there, and I get granted, the guy isn't always available. But when he is available, he's still probably the best on-ball defender that the Warriors have. So I always got to ask somebody, if you're going to drive the guy to the airport and drop him off, who are you bringing back? Because you can't just say get rid of Wiggins. You better have somebody else you're bringing in. So I need to know who that is. Regardless of what you think about Wiggins, you better have that guy. And number two is, so Kuminga, everybody's, oh, Kuminga's untouchable. Oh, people don't even know Kuminga are talking about how good he is. So, and I'm not even sure the team believes that. I mean, Coach Kerr said at the end of the season, which is only a few months ago, guys, he said, we need him to play a three, but we're not sure he can. Does that sound like a guy that they're sure about? I mean, I hear all this talent and he's untouchable. No one's untouchable except Steph Curry. Come on. I mean, Halliburton, remember what the Kings did, guys? The Kings moved Halliburton for a guy that made them better. I mean, is anybody looking back on that and saying it was a bad trade? So the challenge is go get a good deal. Stop telling us who's untouchable when you're number 10th. Stop telling me who's untouchable. Everybody's available if you can make the team better. That's what I got. Then the final thing I wanted to say was Klay Thompson, guys. Everybody's talking about Klay can play here, he can play there. Klay is a more difficult, I think, guy to place than people think. I mean, he's been protected here for most of his career. Nobody ever talks about negatively about Klay. You think they'll get the same treatment as Philly? I mean, I grew up on the East Coast. I went to school in Philly. I know the Philly media. There's no way he gets the same treatment back there. You think Klay is going to be a leader? Klay has never been a leader. He enjoys being in the background. So I think the fit with Klay Thompson is a little bit different than people want to admit. So that's kind of all I got, guys. Enjoy the show. Thank you.
Yeah, a lot of good stuff there, Austin. Appreciate the call, as always. Yeah, I mean, look, the thing, I guess I'll just start with Wiggins, is he said it's, you know, if it's so easy, that's kind of the issue. It's not easy to move Wiggins, and it's not because right now he's seen as a good player. He's seen as a terrible contract. Like, that's why he's so hard to move, because you're right. What are you getting back? Well, you're not getting anything back. But you're also right now not getting much from him, because he's unpredictable, both with how much he'll play and when he's on the court, if he'll play. I don't know, Dan. I mean, like, I think the idea of Wiggins is great. The idea of him is their best defender. Then how come I didn't see it last year? Like, then how come I don't see it? Like, I could make a case that when Moses Moody filled in as a starter for him, he was just as effective. Three straight games, Moses Moody had to guard Jalen Brunson. He had to guard, I believe, Tyrese Maxey. And Halliburton might have been in the game against the Pacers. And I thought he did a serviceable job. He's not a great on-ball defender. But at this point in his career, I don't think Wiggins is either.
The problem with Wiggins is just where he's at emotionally, and you touched on this. And for the Golden State Warriors, you just get to a certain point where you're like, you can't do this anymore. And the reason why I can't do this anymore is because not only is it about you individually as a player, but when you're cultivating a culture, I can't continue to do this where you disappear and you're lethargic. It's just not good for business, as I like to say. This has an effect on the rest of the players on my team, and we've run the course with you, and it's a bad reflection of us as a franchise. I think that's where things have arrived at now with Andrew Wiggins. He also talked about the call I'm referring to about Jonathan Kuminga. Now, don't get me wrong here. I am not saying Jonathan Kuminga is untouchable. I think you might be more in that camp. I'm saying that Jonathan Kuminga is not somebody that I would entertain for somebody like that of a Paul George. Because now you're talking about giving up the future for somebody that I think at age 34 to go along with a bunch of old men that are the Golden State Warriors is a waste of potential talent when it comes to Jonathan Kuminga. But Jonathan Kuminga, for marketing. Jonathan Kuminga for a young player. Jonathan Kuminga to bring you back talent is something that I certainly would entertain. And there is no doubt, and Austin's spot on, I don't believe that Steve Kerr and the powers that be that are the Golden State Warriors executives that pull the trigger on these decisions are completely in love and are convinced that Kuminga is that guy. And they told you as much in those post-interviews following the end of the season that there are some warts on this guy. And it was, to me, sort of an insight, and they're leaving the door open, that we don't have a lot of assets, one of which is Jonathan Kuminga. And while we agree that he is a talent and is so young, but for a team that doesn't have a lot of assets, he is going to be somebody that we're going to look to trade. If he comes back to the Golden State Warriors, it's only because they couldn't get what they deemed as the proper value in return for Kuminga. But I have no doubt in my mind that they're shopping him, and I have no issues with that if they bring back a younger basketball player, not someone like that of Paul George.
I don't think he's untouchable, but this is the thing, though. Like, he is a young player. So I think trading him for another young player would be a bit redundant, especially if you've already invested the time and effort to develop him into something, or to figure out if you want to extend him. I mean, I think that's probably the next big order of business on the Kuminga front is, do you extend him this summer, or do you let him enter restricted free agency next offseason? I think there's a risk there, but perhaps you want to see what happens during this summer. And I think Clay is also a part of that too, which was another aspect of Austin's call. You know, I think the hypothetically posed about Wiggins of, you know, who's going to come back, or what are you going to replace him with? And you can make the same case for Clay. You know, you're going to have to replace his shooting one way or another. I don't think you have to replace, you know, maybe his defense anymore. He's not that and hasn't ever been that great of a rebounder. So you're basically replacing a volume 3-point shooter that is slightly above average. Like, I totally missed this, but, you know, Klay Thompson made, I think, the fourth most makes in the NBA from 3-point range last year. But he was like the 62nd. Best 3-point shooter by percentage. Like, there are 40 guys in this league that last season shot 40% or better from three. The Warriors have to find a way to either improve internally and get a few of their guys outside of Steph to the 40% margin, because I just think in order to be a good shooting team, you need multiple of those guys. I think that's why they traded their second round pick for Lenny Waters III, because he can be a 40% 3-point shooter and he needs, I don't know, space to play. I also think that they're okay with letting Klay Thompson go. I don't know about you, Dan. I just don't feel like, and I don't know if we had a chance to discuss this, I don't feel like Klay Thompson is a priority for the Warriors. And I said it a couple nights ago on our draft show. I feel like privately the Warriors are hoping that he makes the choice for them. And whether it's Denver, Dallas is another team that's emerged, according to Mark Stein. Philadelphia, of course, has cap space. Orlando has cap space. Potentially one of those four destinations. I think they're hoping that Klay Thompson goes somewhere else and basically allows them financial freedom, but also a pathway to internally promote some of these younger players that haven't been able to get as much time.
I would agree with you. The issue for the Golden State Warriors is, how do they handle this from a PR standpoint? Okay, you cannot deny the fact that he's synonymous with the titles, this is the only team he's played for. He's Klay Thompson at the end of the day. So you've arrived at a business decision that it's time to part ways with Klay. So from this point forward, it's like, okay, how do we save face with the fan base? Not only the fan base, but for any other free agent that's thinking of coming here to the Golden State Warriors. We have to do this. We have to do this the Warrior way. The Warriors have prided themselves, I think, on taking care of their players. And so really what they have to tackle is just sort of the marketing and making sure that this thing doesn't stink, and that when they move off on Klay Thompson, that you're not the before-mentioned Stephen A. and First Take and every bozo that's doing these shows these days isn't leading their rundown on the Golden State Warriors disrespected Klay Thompson. Highlights coming up tonight at 5. Let's talk about it for the next 4 hours. That's not the narrative that the Warriors want to deal with. So right now it's all about spin. I'm with you. I think the best move right now is to move off of Klay Thompson. But you have to do that by having Klay Thompson getting an offer where the Warriors just simply say, we can't match that. And You know, there's ways of doing that. There's ways of doing that. If they get hard capped, you know, if they bring back, let's say that they get Paul George and they sign him to that extension, well, there's a limited number now that you can offer Klay Thompson. And if Klay Thompson says, no, I want to go play for somebody else, that's not necessarily on the Warriors because they can't even barter, right, Ev? At that point, they're just saying, all we have is $16 million. We got Paul George, which our fan base is, you know, they're head over heels with, apparently. We don't have enough money in the till to afford you, Klay. So a scenario like that, where it's just logistically, there's only so much we can offer you because of the hard cap in place that Klay Thompson went to go play for, fill in the blank, for X amount of dollars, which we couldn't afford.
Yeah, I think you're spot on. Like, to me, it's all optics at this point. It's PR control. It is trying to figure out how to best wish Klay Thompson away to somewhere else, or to wish him the best on the rest of his basketball life. Because something that Mike Dunleavy also said after the draft, again, it was a small move. They bought back into the second round. They got a 7-footer from Boston College. You can
love that guy.
Shoot the hell out of the ball and is a scorer. And
QT Post.
Quentin Post. Could be a nice piece for them. We'll see if he's on the roster this year, if he gets some time. But I think more importantly, it triggered the hard cap, which means they cannot go over $189.5 million this upcoming season. And right now, their roster currently sits at about $178 million. That's not a whole lot of room for Klay. And unless Klay Thompson literally does not have another offer on the table, which I don't believe to be true, then why would he come back? And the Warriors now, again, this was intentional, them triggering the hard cap, because they felt like, well, we should be able to stay under that anyways. But if he was a priority, I do not think that staying under the second apron would be off the board. Now, I think a lot of teams are fearful of it, but if Klay Thompson was really that much of a game changer, I think we would have already heard something different, Dan. And I just think that at this point, the Warriors, in a way, may have enacted the hard cap as a built-in excuse of why we can't keep Klay Thompson. And so we can come out and say, well, actually, it's on the books, it's financials. We legally cannot acquire him or reacquire him. And he was able to get, you know, 2 for $40 or 2 for $50 from somewhere else. You know, God bless him. And he's going to go out and continue to help a team. And you know what? It was just a mutual parting of ways.
Which is why when it's interpreted as disrespect on the part of Klay Thompson and his camp. But if you're the Golden State Warriors, you can't sign him to a deal right now. You can't sign him to a deal until you know what it is that you're going to do with Chris Paul. And if you're going to go after a free agent like that, a Paul George, or if you're going to get him to opt in trade, well, then you got to make those numbers fit. You can't sign Klay Thompson and then, I mean, that's just ass backwards, and then trying to, you know, decide whether or not you have enough money to afford Paul George. It's the other way around. It's, we'll go after Paul George. We'll see what presents itself, if he's going to opt in trade, whether we can afford him, and the same with Chris Paul going forward. And then once the books are settled and there's more structure in place, all right, Klay, let's talk. But we can't do anything prior to that. So what he perceives as being disrespectful for the Golden State Warriors is just business. And I think that, objectively speaking, anybody could look at the Warriors and saying, yeah, that makes sense. You've got to take care of what's in front of you. And what's in front of you is potentially Paul George and the Chris Paul matter. And then it's Klay Thompson. It's not the other way around. You can't handcuff yourself to Klay Thompson in a contract and then try and find out whether you have enough to lure one Paul George to town.
That's Dan Devone. My name is Evan Giddings. This is Saturdays on 95.7 The Game. 888-957-9570 is the number. Big walk-off win for the Giants last night. A game one against the Dodgers. They get underway at 4:15 on today. Why don't I like Wisely?
Yeah.
I don't dislike Wisely. I think he's kind of a jag, but I don't know. Ken, do you like Wisely?
I like what he said yesterday. You want me to play something for you?
Sure.
Okay, hang on. This is just after he hit the walk-off. He was talking to, I forget the person's name, on NBC Sports Bay Area. Hang on.
Does this win hold extra meaning for the team tonight, knowing that you guys did it for Orlando?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I feel like we feel their presence down here on the field every night we go out there, so it's just it's a blessing playing this game, playing on this field, and wearing this uniform.
It's a blessing.
He don't know who Orlando Cepeda is? I might be wrong. Well, unless he walks by the statue every single day.
I feel like not a lot of Giants fans might not know who he, the young generation.
Well, you know what's funny about him is that we're so excited about Luciano. Whatever Matos does, we'll talk about it. Elliot Ramos led the show for a good couple of weeks
He dropped a fly ball in the ninth inning last night.
And all this kid has done as a youngster, he's the one guy who's hit and fielded his position. Yet, for whatever reason, there's guys like you who are like, yeah, whatever.
Well, Wisely's not a young guy. We'll get back to the Warriors in a moment.
He's in his 20s. Late 20s.
I mean, so am I, but I'm not young.
You are young, man.
Well, everybody's... In that case, Paul George is young.
No, he's not in his 20s. That's my point exactly.
Okay, well, look. The only thing I do like about Wisely is the fact that he was a Rays farmhand. And when Farhan acquired him, he acquired a member of the Rays, which I think is always a good move. Yeah. But that's about it. No, he's been good for him. I mean, he's hitting like 300. He's been a utility player. In fact, he's the only reason that we're not talking about Luciano coming back up. Everyone wants Matos. Everyone wants him to join Ramos because... Well, you don't want to watch Yaz play right field, or you don't want to watch Slater play center field. Well, no one is saying, well, let's bring Luciano up because we don't want to watch Wisely play shortstop. So he's got that going for him.
Hey, man, you know what it's about? It's about Wisely and a kid by the name of Birdsong.
Oh, Hayden Birdsong's legit.
Yeah, that's for real, huh?
Dude,
it's early to call legit, but that was pretty exciting.
No. I'm telling you right now, Birdsong is legit. In fact, you put this in the cap, he's going to be better than Harrison.
Oh, that I'll go there with you.
Yeah, he's gonna be better than Kyle Harrison.
I don't know how much
Kyle Harrison's like the right top now. Pitching prospect.
Yeah, well, we'll find out how far his career goes.
Dan's not a fan of either.
No, I like Birdsong, but I think you can aim a little higher, saying he'd be better than Kyle Harrison.
The other good young pitcher that they got. Also, Carson Wisenhunt's gonna be better than both of them.
All right, we'll see.
Put that in the cap also. But I think it's funny you bring up the Giants and like the elevation of younger players because I feel like that's kind of the direction the Warriors are trending in. I think they're trying to go out and make a trade. I think they're trying to get some sort of big fish. But
don't do it.
I don't know how badly they really want it. Like, I'll ask this, 888-957-9570. Let's take Paul George, for example. The idea of Paul George as, you know, a second option alongside Curry. Former All-NBA player, I think still has a couple of good years left in him. How badly do you want a player like that? How badly do the Warriors want a player like that? Because I don't think they want a player that badly. I think they want to be involved. I think they want to appear as if they are trying their hardest to court one of these stars. But when it comes down to the actual negotiation table... I mean, I think they're folding their hand.
God, when did this all flip where you and I are sort of on the same page?
Sorry, what?
I always thought that you were on the, you know, you were in for somebody like that of a Paul George status to come in and help this team right now.
Yeah, I am, but I just don't think the Warriors are.
Okay, well, I'm with the Warriors then, because you're right. You're right. They'll do everything again, getting back to PR, to give the illusion that we did... Whatever, just like the Giants and Aaron Judge, and when it came to Correa, like, look, it's not us, right? Aaron Judge used us, and it's not us. Paul George wanted to go back to L.A., and we just simply couldn't afford him. But we went after him, fans. You know that. At the end of the day, at some point, look, you know what you need to do, Ev? We could talk about this on the other side, is that you really just have to step back and look at this team as they're currently constructed. And I know they're associated with championships, NBA final appearances, Western Conference final appearances, but just look at who they are right now. And the addition of a Paul George, it doesn't work. Okay, nobody in the history of the NBA has done squat when your best players are 37, 35, and 35. It doesn't happen, and it's not going to happen with the Golden State Warriors. At some point, nobody wants to hear this. Nobody likes the word. But just give me a timeout because it's time, ladies and gentlemen, to hit reset. That's your best move going forward.
I vehemently disagree. Right. And we can get into that on the other side. By the way, I got to clean up a YouTube super chat from Matco Pest Control. Thank you, my man, for $5. I think Klay Thompson gets a 4-year deal once we get Paul George.
Where's that money going, by the way? Is that the Danavon Retirement Fund?
What?
Tipping us money on the text line?
I don't get a piece of this, man. I wish we did. I wish it went into a party fund, to be quite honest. Paul George for taking a pay cut.
You're definitely in your 20s, man. Every Friday night, you just drag into this place, just half sideways. Go ahead, man.
Dude, 9 a.m.'s early. Especially when I get here, you know, at 7 o'clock as opposed to 8:55. And Curry gets 2 more years also. From what I've been told, they can offer him close to $20 million a year. We'll dig into more on Klay Thompson, Paul George, Steph Curry on the other side. Because Curry does play into this. And it's a reason why I want to talk to you about this youth movement you seem so on board with down to a T. That's Dan DeVoe. My name's Evan Giddings. Ken Latrell with you here on 95.7 The Game. We're back after this.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.